from deep inside your radio.
From very deep inside, ladies and gentlemen, from New Orleans, Louisiana, as a matter of fact. And first of all, thanks to you for alerting me, ladies and gentlemen, to all the problems and glitches that occur along the program chain as this broadcast wends its way through the myriad of arteries to you. So I hear, you know, when affiliated stations in cities as diverse as Philadelphia and Philadelphia preempt the broadcast every once in a while, or when the podcast goes bluey for weeks. So after considering all these problems, I've decided to incorporate yet another new technology into the distribution toolbox of this broadcast, and we'll be introducing, I think, shortly after the new year, Le Show On. Le Show On enables you to apply the program directly to where you need to hear it. Le Show On, apply directly to where you need to hear it. I'm in New Orleans once again, and we are very, very, we're adjacent to where the people who built the canal flood walls badly the first time around, hence the floods, are doing the new improved version. Because they've, you know, lessons learned. Well, we don't need peer review. We know what we did wrong. And every time I've come here in the succeeding months since the flood, they've had their cranes out there, even on Sundays, hard at work, building the new improved flood walls. As I arrived here today, no cranes. So, job done. Let's go. Bring us your worst. In another New Orleans development, the city is, as even the New York Times reported, wow, although they were reporting on this, finally, the feds who control public housing in New Orleans have been able to proceed with their plan to start demolishing existing public housing projects. And when you say public housing in New Orleans, it's not those big, tall towers that many cities have. It's three, four-story brick buildings. Still, you wouldn't want your mom to live in them. But the New York Times, as so many out-of-town media do, report that, oh, the public housing here was destroyed by Katrina, meaning a hurricane. It's an odd hurricane that can destroy four public housing projects and leave them all standing vertical, many of them perfectly habitable. That is a nutty hurricane. Might have been a flood. And the federal government, as many others would in normal times, says, you know, it's a bad idea to put all the poor people together in one place. Let's get mixed income housing. Let's get it now. Now just happens to be a time when figures differ, but between 50 and 100,000 affordable rental units have been destroyed. So, you know, it's a kerfuffle. But on the other hand, New Delhi is destroying the homes of poor people, throwing them into the street to prepare for the Commonwealth Games in 2010. By then, they'll be good-looking street people. It's a nutty old world, one we celebrate this week and the week after next, as we do at the end of every year, by looking back in Ranker for a feature I call The Year in Rebuke. And I want to, this time around, make common cause with my brethren and sistren in the mass media, who acknowledge, sure, there's a war, sure, there's a climate crisis, but who's up and who's down in the polls in Iowa, and what's happening in pop culture? The idea of calling it pop culture, anyway, is an interesting way to sort of dignify the waste of time that goes on. It reminds me of the phrase that's now common in Britain describing the gangs that prey upon people over there. They are described as having knife culture. Yeah, knife culture. When they get fork culture, give me a call. But pop culture is so on at the top of our radar screen nationally and media-wise that I decided to put it in a similar place of honor as we look back at 2007 in this year in rebuke. Hello, welcome to the show.
Why are the coolest customers in the Antarctic so hot?
And a special comment. We'll always have Paris.
Got to be extra access tonight for early June 2007. Hi, everyone. I'm Mike DeVere.
And I'm Pat Mungo, back from rehab again.
Since Willie the Penguin marched across millions of packs of cool cigarettes 60 years ago, have penguins been making such a cool splash in pop culture? By now, there are probably more of the cute frosty birds in movie theaters than in the whole country of Antarctica. Starting with March of the Penguins, then Happy Feet, the parade of penguins continues this week with Surf's Up. And if there's an animator in Hollywood who doesn't know how to make penguins lovable by now, he never will. But why this craze for a bird that barely makes a peep? Someone's making major noise on the penguin's behalf.
I'm Maddie Schulkraut. I'm a partner in Bankable, a boutique talent agency in Beverly Hills adjacent. And I think I'm the first agent in the business. Well, I know I'm the first agent to own the rights to and represent of an entire species, the penguin. The penguin came under my wing, so to speak, about 5 years ago, given its charm and its potential to be serious camera candy. I just thought it was an underperforming asset. So I made a few calls.
If we need to extra access tonight, exclusive peek in an upcoming video news release, we learned that the World Zoologic Federation made Maddie the penguin's rep after his impressive presentation at ZooCon 2004. His first step was a two-week deep think about the bird's name.
I met with branding experts, the people who came up with the name Chilean sea bass for the, toothfish? Kiwi fruit for whatever that thing was called. And we brainstormed about new names that could give the penguin, you know, the same kind of sizzle, only more so and bigger. Some of the ones we generated, Arctic Snowbird, which doesn't really work because the thing basically lives on ice. I mean, I didn't, you know. But Ice Parrot, which just sounded to me like $1 billion. But anyway, bottom line, we all felt Penguin, the name, was already like a cute word, you know, that told you without you even knowing it that this was a cuddly, lovable, merchandise, buyable kind of bird. So we stuck with Penguin. And we saved a ton on the renaming.
Then we asked Marty's personal publicist to ask him what happened next.
Well, I started making the rounds of the studios and the serious indies, just doing my pitch, you know, at everybody's headed up to here with mice and rabbits and friggin' dinosaurs. What's going to be the next cool species?
We took a meeting with Maddie, then we took a lunch. And then we decided to take a dinner.
Reaction Pictures head of production, Dominic DiPietro.
He had basically invested in focus grouping this bird, which, you know, seemed pretty peculiar at the time, I have to say, until you looked at the numbers, at which point, hello. We greenlit Meet the Penguins. We had a change of management, so that became Meet the Fockers, but I knew that wouldn't stop Maddie.
Of course, you gotta keep it fresh. That's the only way you protect the franchise. CAA's got puffins now. And they're nosing around some big deals. Theme park deals. So for next summer, we're pitching Penguin Mania, about a penguin rock band at the Tours Alaska. We're pretty convinced that it's a puffin killer.
Maddie Schulkraut, the man who put the heat under the penguins without cooking them.
I I'm Pat Mungo, and this is a special comment. This week's She's In, She's Out, She's Back In Again, Paris Hilton story made headlines all over the world. And in this time of war and strife, those kind of headlines can't be bad for America. But some newscasts and cable channels couldn't just cover this as the biggest news story in the entire Paris Hilton saga. They had to almost apologize for the fact that they were covering it. Speaking as the co-managing editor of Inside Extra Access Tonight, I want to talk directly to the CNNs and MSNBCs and Fox Newses of our business. Folks, we would never cover a non-celebrity story. But if we ever did, we sure wouldn't apologize for doing so. Life may not be too short, but our time slot sure is. So spare us the attitude. The devil may have made you do it, but the ratings were sure a godsend.
That's it for tonight. But Inside Extra Access Tonight comes rolling back tomorrow with the results of our latest IEAT poll.
We asked you who should replace Rosie O'Donnell on The View, and the results will leave Donald Trump speechless.
Till then, I'm Mike DeVito.
And I'm Pat Mungo. So long from Culver City.
From the edge of Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, yeah, there's always time to listen to the warm news of the warm, ladies and gentlemen, won't you? Glenn?
Soft, listen to the warm.
Is it soft or is it warm?
Listen to the warm.
That's what it's hard to figure out from that. Scientists in the United States have presented one of the most dramatic forecasts yet for the disappearance of Arctic sea ice. Lucky the penguins live at the other end. Their latest modeling studies indicate northern polar waters could be ice-free in summers within just 5 to 6 years. It's been a long-held dream of man. Now coming true. Get that ice out of the Arctic. Professor Vyacheslav Maslovsky told an American Geophysical Union meeting that previous projections had underestimated the process now driving ice loss. Summer melting this year reduced the ice cover to 4.13 million square kilometers, the smallest ever in modern times. This stunning low point was not even incorporated into the model runs of Professor Maslovsky and his team, which used data sets from 79 to 2004 to constrain their future projections. In the end, it will just melt away quite suddenly, apparently. That's what they're now saying. Our projection of 2013 for the removal of ice in summer is not accounting for the last two minima in 2005 and 2007, he says. So given that fact, you can argue that maybe our projection of 2013 for the ice disappearing is already too conservative. Professor Maslovsky's group is well known for producing modeled dates that are in advance of other teams. This according to BBC News. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen. Brr, it's warm in here. And Iraq. How about that nutty Iraq? Well, we heard that the siege had resulted in the lessening of violence, but other voices said, yeah, that's because 2 million Sunnis fled. So they weren't there for the Shiites to kill anymore. One of five Iraqi refugees in Syria has been tortured or suffered from either violence. More than a third fled their homeland between July and October, at the height of the surge. The survey found the refugee, this is a UN survey of Iraqi refugees in Syria. It found that the refugee population is highly educated and that many are only weeks away from exhausting their savings. Why should they be any different from us? The survey was conducted by the Ipsos market research firm. See, UN is private, outsourcing their research. It's the most comprehensive study to date of the more than 1.5 million Iraqis who've sought safety in Syria from the sectarian violence at home, according to McClatchy newspapers. The UN survey includes special questions about trauma that researchers from Harvard and the Centers of Disease Control hope will help them determine for the first time the extent to which the violence in Iraq has damaged the mental health and stability of the war's survivors. The preliminary results suggest that as American forces moved into Baghdad's neighborhoods to establish security, large numbers of Iraqis moved out. 78% of the refugees polled said they'd come from Baghdad, which has been the focus of the surge. 35% said they'd fled between July and October when U.S. troop strength peaked. More than half said they'd received direct threats or had lived through bombings. 11% had been assaulted. 6% had been kidnapped. 54% had dead or missing family members this year, up from 22% last year. Murder was cited as the number one cause of death, listed in 78% of the cases. A majority of respondents blamed sectarian militias for the deaths. Just a little survey from Iraqi refugees in Syria, ladies and gentlemen. Apropos of New Orleans, the long-delayed inspection of the FEMA trailers, both in New Orleans and along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, for formaldehyde fumes has been announced to begin December 21st, this coming Friday. Only coincidentally, this is the first cold day of the year. This is winter today. Today is winter in New Orleans. So, you know, they waited until it was cold enough that people living in trailers would actually open their windows Maybe air them out? Maybe let some of the fumes escape before the testing began? Harvey Johnson, FEMA's deputy administrator, was pressed by senators to explain the delays. It's taken a long time in part because we've not had this problem before, Johnson said. This is the first time we've had people in trailers for this length of time, up to 2 years. Of course, the fumes were there from day one. But thanks, Harvey. Harvey was the guy behind the fake FEMA press conference, so I believe he gets the heck of a job badge for this year. Meantime, you know, the president experienced several legislative defeats this year, most notably his immigration bill in the spring. And were it not for the Democrats' inability to either count votes in the Congress or to strategize based on those counts, it would have been a worse year for the president. Even so, around the middle of the year, there were some saying, hey, babe, it's kind of stick a fork in him. And as a result, of course, there was a phone call.
Viking Eagle.
You back in your room?
Hey, 41. Some great bone fishing today. Mm-hmm. I think Pootie's going to wish he got here a day earlier.
Well, maybe he can stay a day longer.
Don't tell me. Tell the fish. So why are you calling, 41? I'll see you at dinner. And
know that. But that's family time, and we have to enjoy family obligations then.
Yeah.
Something been on my mind, though, that I hoped we would talk about on the boat. But
no, I know I got sidetracked with all that British terrorism stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know this is a near tragedy, and my heart certainly goes out to all the people who could have been killed and so forth. But, you know, maybe this is the wake-up call that we needed. You know, something dramatic and not even artificiated to remind our opponents that if we don't fight the enemy in Iraq, he's going to follow us home, and Britain is right on the way.
Just, you know, a father feels these things maybe more deeply even than his own son. And sometimes a father's got to give voice to those feelings, and maybe his son's just got to slow down for a minute and listen up to the old man.
Yeah, I get you. There's somebody you need to talk to, and you think maybe I can put in a good word with him for you. Hey,
cutting to the meat of the chase here.
Yeah.
Worried about you. Worried for you. You lost that vote on the immigration bill,
yeah.
Losing more of your senators on the war every day, getting more subpoenas than Phil Spector's wig maker. People starting to say your presidency is over. Know what a rough time you must be having this week.
Phil who's what now?
Just something Dennis Miller said to Barr.
Oh. Well, 41, I don't think Vlad Pootie-Poot thinks it's over. Otherwise, why'd he be visiting me? I think he's got better fish to fry than to spend a day or two with an ex-president.
No, that's...
Don't think new Prime Minister Gordon Brown thinks I'm at the end. Otherwise, he wouldn't be taking my call in the middle of all that he's in the middle of right now.
What I've been told, you haven't called him yet.
No, and that's just to tamp down the alarmism. Long time till September. But we've gotten a word that he will take the call when we make it.
Sure.
I had to admit defeat on the immigration bill, mm-hmm. but that's part of Carl's new branding for me. I'm now a guy who will admit defeat every once in a while. Kind of humanitizes me and gives me almost, you know, an underdog kind of a vulcanization.
You mean vulnerability, don't you?
Yeah, I knew it was a vul word.
Know that there's still a busy-looking schedule and a tendency to deny the almost obvious, but when the members of your own party feel free to defy you on defining issues of your administration, that's just gotta hurt. Just want you to know that...
You feel my pain.
Man, you've been hanging around too much at those Clinton charity things.
No. For the record, 41, of course, this is off the record. I'm not hurting. You know, these are the same folks who said at the beginning, because I won in a shaver-thin margin in 2000, that I was going to govern as a cautious centrist. But what was true today is still true then. If you're fulfilling a mission from a higher executive who really is not in the executive branch, that somehow all of the convenient wisdom need not apply.
Well, Sprout, no one understands better than I do the manly virtues of self-control and self-restraint and self a lot of other things. And obviously, for public consumption, you got to maintain the fiction that your power is undiminished and your resolve is unwavering and all that sort of duty. But in your heart of hearts, you got to know that this is a moment of painful, sad, almost tragic transition. It was for me, and I won my war.
Yeah, maybe it's that way for other folks, 4-1, but as long as I'm born again, heck, this is just like a picnic where somebody forgot to bring the ad remover.
Yeah.
We got plenty of initiatives left to initiativitate in the next 18 months. We got the Clean Rivers Bill, which will encourage companies that contribute nutrient-rich outflow to our nation's rivers to self-regulate themselves. We got the No Senior Citizen Left Behind program, taking the whole No Such and Such Left Behind brand and walking it up age-wise. Mm-hmm. We got a whole new generic modification approach to missile defense where we shoot a targeted beam of specially designed bacteria at a threat and they eat the incoming missile. So
genetic?
Sure, if we can afford it. So
43.
Yeah.
This is the part I was hoping I wouldn't have to say because, well, kind of expected you to be saying it and me to be cheering you up about it. But your power is draining away so fast that within 6 months, the only Republican who'll agree to be photographed with you will be Laura. Your ability to initiate anything and not have a dead on arrival on Capitol Hill is nil, gone, kaput, nada. Internationally, where we usually concentrate at this point in the presidency, you're the ants at that picnic of yours. Saying that you hope Iraq ends up like Israel, this may have guaranteed that no world leader except Pootie will take a phone call from you until you're safely out of office.
And?
And just saying, don't worry, it's not so bad.
Okay, 4-1. Well, I appreciate the sympathy and the empathy and everything else, pathy, and I'm going to go get dressed for dinner.
What are you wearing?
What I'm wearing now, I just got to zip it up. See ya.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week on the Year in Rebuke.
We're so sorry.
ESPN has had to apologize and admit to very poor judgment for a poll asking voters whether they would want to see former Timberwolf, now Boston Celtic, Kevin Garnett, suffer a serious injury. Garnett told the Boston Herald he thought the poll was, quote, really distasteful. Man, I mean, that's my life, my career, he said. You don't joke about something like that. The question was asked whether the voters would want to see the Steelers beat the Patriots, Johan Santana be traded to a team other than the Red Sox, or Kevin Garnett blow out his knee. The poll was moved immediately upon the senior editorial staff becoming aware. We sincerely regret the error in judgment, says ESPN. We are addressing the issue and apologize to Kevin Garnett, to the Celtics, and to those offended by the poll question. Obviously, we wish good health to all athletes. Obviously. It's ESPN. 2 days after Andy Petit was implicated in the use of human growth hormone in the Mitchell report on the use of performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, Petit admitted in a statement that he had tried the substance. Petit is one of the first players named in the Mitchell report to confirm its findings. If what I did was an error in judgment on my part, I apologize. If... Petit's former trainer told Mitchell that he had injected Petit with human growth hormone on 2 to 4 occasions in 2002 while the player was recovering from elbow injury. Of course, he's no longer Petit. Will Smith, the actor, has formally apologized for disruption he caused to New Yorkers while shooting his new movie on the streets of Manhattan. Numerous streets in Brooklyn Bridge were closed off in the city for periods between October 2006 and April 2007 as the film was being made. Returning to the city, Smith took the opportunity to say he was sorry. I would like to issue a public apology to the citizens of New York. I'm very sorry for closing those streets off. People were kind of upset with me. Unquote. Why is he saying it this week? The film opens this week? Isn't that wild? One of Hillary Clinton's chief supporters who questioned whether Senator Obama could win a general election because of his past marijuana cocaine use, Bill Shaheen, issued an apology for his statement. I deeply regret the comments I made today, and they were not authorized by the campaign in any way. He later resigned. And Hillary Clinton offered an apology to Obama. and accepted Shaheen's resignation. "I made a mistake," Shaheen said. More candidate apologies. On CNN's The Situation Room, Mike Huckabee disavowed his contentious quote from the New York Times Magazine of him asking the reporter whether Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers. The mother of the gunman who killed eight people at a busy shopping mall in Omaha last week apologized for her son's crime and said she did her best raising him. "I've been absolutely devastated," Maribel Rodriguez said. "The most difficult part is giving all of my best efforts to convey to all these beautiful people that I truly am sorry." She had no custody of the boy since she divorced his father 15 years ago. "I did my best," she told Good Morning America. Deadline Ottawa, there was absolutely nothing funny about the letters Rosalind DaCosta's children got from Santa on Thursday, and they included filthy messages. 2 of 10 inappropriate letters dropped into mailboxes across Ottawa in the last 2 days. Canada Post has shut down its Right to Santa program across the city while it joins Ottawa police to hunt for the rogue. Each Santa letter contains the same message with a handwritten personal P.S. The personal P.S. in this case said, "This letter is too long, you dumb S-word." Canada Post apologizes. "We deeply apologize to any families affected by this. We are shocked and heartbroken," said the spokeswoman. New Hampshire man has apologized to 6 people he's accused of holding hostage in a Hillary Clinton campaign office. Leland Eisenberg of Somersworth, New Hampshire, provided a newspaper a handwritten letter through his lawyer from the, quote, crazy man with the bomb. "This open letter is neither an attempt nor a desire to seek your forgiveness, sympathy, nor to make excuses for my own absolution, for I deserve neither," misspelled neither both times. "Rather, I want to fully and sincerely acknowledge the fear, pains, and lasting effects my senseless actions caused you to suffer." And he apologized profusely to the victims. And finally, Norway's military is blacklisting Germany's Siemens Group from any future defense assignments after Siemens overcharged Norway millions of kroner between 2000 and 2005. "We don't want to enter into any new contracts with them," says a spokesman for the defense ministry. It had been charged and overcharged an additional 11 million kroner, that's 2.2 million U.S., between 2004 and 2005. "In that sense, it's pretty obvious we don't want anything to do with them," said the defense spokesperson. Siemens Norway has apologized for the overcharging and has refunded the excess charges. It also decided to replace its entire top management. Just gives you an idea what Halliburton would have done if their overcharging had been in kroners. And finally, the Kentucky Horse Racing Authority issued a public apology and will pay the legal fees of former Kentucky Racing Commission Executive Director Bernie Hettell, who claimed authority officials had unfairly disparaged him. The authority had hurt his attempts to find a job in the industry and damaged his reputation since he resigned in 2004, much of it based on allegations that the commission under his watch had ignored positive post-race drug tests. Good morning. His attorney said there is no compensation as a result of the lawsuit other than the attorney's fees. "The important thing," said the attorney, "the important thing was the apology." It could be a memo. Could be a mantra. Could be a slogan for the apologies of the week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. 2007, more Catholic dioceses apologized for the behavior of their priests. And one even announced it was going to have to sell off some property to pay off the settlement to the victims. This is, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, the year in rebuke.
What started out as a nasty lawsuit is ending up as your real estate opportunity of the year. Hi, Tom Clay with news of a property auction so big it could make the Pope poop in the woods. How would you like to own a former parochial school with the latest in athletic facilities and audiovisual equipment? Think of the possibilities. You know the former owners did. That's why it's got to be sold before August 31st. How about a high-rise building formerly used only by celibate administrators, or a mini car wash just purchased as an investment? And what an investment it was. It could finance the refurbishment of your very own vestry. Just a fraction of the properties that must be liquidated at this once-in-a-lifetime so far auction event. The Los Angeles Archdiocese, one of the biggest in the world, has got to slim its real estate portfolio to meet pressing legal obligations. and the victim's loss can be your gain. Half a hundred premium Southern California properties, many never on the market before. Must find new owners or it's Bishop in a jumpsuit time. Supermarkets, mini malls, warehouses, and premium residential. If the church bought it, it's all here. Terms, you call the tune. You're dealing with the most motivated seller since Adam had to unload his garden apartment. Remember, if the church considered it non-essential, you'll find it here. We're talking everything but the name. Sure, it takes the Success Builder gene to look at a freestanding nail salon and see dollar signs, but this is the real estate portfolio that built a cathedral. It can do the same for you. When these properties are gone and the plate is paid off, there won't be another opportunity like this until the next archdiocese is settled. So act now. View the properties online at file.com. That's P-H-I-L-E.com. That's where you can sign up for the auction and get your free virtual bidding paddle. Then August 31st, go online and stake your claim to the biggest gold rush since Diddy got his first royalty check. Prime Southern California properties, price to move. And it's all for the kids. Presented by Mahoney & Mahoney, auctioneers to the perps.
When you were a vixen and I was a chump, looked at me like a coil from a swamp. Now things have a different complexion. I'm the object of your affection. Much as I don't doubt your expertise, find yourself some of the heart to squeeze. Cause it's too late to come fishing. Yes, it's too late to come fishing. Well, it's too late. The fish don't like your bait. It's infinitely good to find. Change of heart, but my tire is fit to overflow. Find yourself some of the jiggle. Cause it's too late to confession. Don't like you, babe.
This is the year in rebuke on Le Show. U.S. regulators have no comprehensive plan for preparing TV viewers for the upcoming switch to digital television. That's according to a congressional study released this week. Imagine that. The government has no plan. What do they think the digital switchover is? A war in Iraq? Oh, we missed this on the news of the warm. In what some scientists see as another alarming consequence of global warming, thousands of Pacific walruses above the Arctic Circle were killed in stampedes earlier this year after the disappearance of sea ice. Not sea lice, that's what's killing the salmon. Disappearance of sea ice caused them to crowd onto the shoreline in extraordinary numbers. This took place during the late summer and fall on the Russian side of the Bering Strait. It was a pretty sobering year, tough on walruses, says a walrus expert for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Unlike seals, walruses cannot swim indefinitely. The giant mammals typically clamber onto the sea ice to rest. But when the ice disappeared, walruses were asking the seals for swimming lessons. News of the warm continues. And it was a year where there was at least one very big benefit show for the whole global warming thing. I think, in fact, there was a second.
Huh. All right, I have to say, welcome back to Live Al. Those who are joining us late in the proceedings, just a brief conspectus of what we're doing here today at beautiful Mohegan Sun Stadium. We had a lot of criticism about our last event, that it was too carbon expensive and too unfocused, too many rock stars with their own agendas. And of course, we appreciate the efforts and the goodwill of all those performers. But tonight, we're doing something a little bit different, a little more carbon friendly, and a little more focused. Live Al is me, just me, and just a few friends. And I guess since Al Franken can run for political office, I can tell some jokes. Of course, now that he's running for office, I'm writing jokes for him. But Al Franken will be with us via carbon-neutral satellite from the Twin Cities in the next hour. Al, what do you have coming up for us?
Pretty much more of what you're doing, Al.
Well, looking forward to that. And one of the things we are doing, in fact, the only thing, is getting the message across every which way we can. And one way we can is with music.
Can you feel it? Can you hear it?
Can I see the words a little more clearly on the prompter there? Thank you. Save the darter. Save the snail, save the head, and save the tail. Save it all, or go to jail. Save it all, save it all. Save the turtle, save the squid. Save the gentle Katie did. Save the goat and save the kid. Save it all. Save it all. Save it all. You don't know which part you're gonna need. Save it all. Save the oak, just about to fall. Save that scrumptious butterball. Save the big things and save the small. Oh, save it all. Yeah, save it all. Put your hands together, take them apart, put them together again, and keep doing it rhythmically like our brothers and sisters do. Change your light bulbs. Oh, change your socks. Lose the tote bag. Lose the cardboard box. Change your life and change your locks. Change it all. Change it all. Change your eating. Change your oil. Change the water that you boil. Change to hemp for that cooking foil. Change it all. Change it all. Change it all. Your life's just one big carbon plant. Change it all and make this song into a chant. Don't say you can't. Change consumption. Change your clothes. Suck your emissions back through a hose. We'd like to thank the folks at Bose. They gave us our audio equipment systems. Change it all. Oh, change it all. One more thing. Change your savings. Save your change. Even though it may feel quite strange, be the key to rearrange. Rent a hall. Have a ball. We must run before we crawl. Prevent the pall. Make that call. Of course, we're not taking calls, but save it all. Thank you very much.
And of course, in 2007, other things were changing as well, notably food.
From CPR, Continental Public Radio, I'm Aviva Schlorman, inviting you to take your seat at the edible table. The edible table, where every week we taste what sounds good and we hear what tastes good. Let's tuck in. First, an update on my recipe for Grandma Schlorman's potato salad cakes. We're so overwhelmed by requests for this wonderful summer treat that the edible table server at CPR.org got a severe case of digital heartburn. So if you haven't had your request answered yet, as Grandma Schlorman herself would have advised, had her server crashed, patience, patience. One of the most controversial topics in the world of the edible table is genetically modified food. Some people think it's the greatest thing since sliced blintzes. Others call it frankenfood. Today we have a guest who's sure to lend some heat to this subject and maybe even shed some light, especially if we hold the subject close to the heat source where it should be brighter. Keith Blyjob is with the Food Improvement Foundation. Keith, pull up a seat at the edible table. Welcome.
Thanks, Aviva. Very, very cozy here.
Well, we try. The napkin rings are a nice touch, don't you think?
Well, it's certainly not my father's public radio.
It is not. Keith, a lot of people are scared of genetically modified foods. Mm-hmm. Should they be?
Well, Aviva, I think you're talking mainly about Europeans, Asians, your Latin Americans, maybe even your Africans, who, of course, are scared of all sorts of things. But I think, thanks partly to the efforts of people like me and you, that the American people have seen through all the scare stories to the other stories. Like the fact that GM foods...
That's genetically modified, not food made by General Motors.
That's right. Even I'd be scared of that. Like the fact that GM foods can be grown with less pesticides and herbicides.
Well, but isn't the majority of GM food today developed with a higher tolerance for pesticides and herbicides?
Oh, yes, but that's a feature, not a flaw. It's a tough old world out there on the farm, and I think our friends in the farming community have a right to have every possible tool in their toolbox because of Eva. The bugs aren't getting any nicer.
It seems like they never do.
Oh, amen to that. But I brought with me today some examples of exactly the other kinds of benefits this new technology is making possible for the food enthusiast.
You sound like someone who likes food yourself.
Be a pretty sad old world without it.
It would indeed. So I think I'm looking at a pasta dish. It's shells. With a summer tomato sauce?
Right on the money, Aviva. Mm. Fresh tomato sauce, I might add. Very light sauce that has to be made with tomatoes without what?
Well, usually we want them without their skins.
Mm-hmm. And skinning tomatoes is...
Well, it's one of the pleasures of my culinary life.
I know, but most folks really don't have the time for it. So what these are is skinless tomatoes.
You mean, pardon the expression... They're born that way?
No skinning required. Just pluck them out of the bag, pop them into the pan, and moments later you're enjoying fresh tomato sauce.
And I guess this disposes of the problem of disposing of the skin?
Oh, sure. Less food waste is better for the planet. We all know that.
Well, Keith, these are swell, and they taste wonderful. But why can't we just breed tomatoes like this the old-fashioned way?
Well, Aviva, first I'd like you to look at our other sample I've brought over today.
Oh, gladly. Here on this dinner plate is something that looks suspiciously like a breast of chicken in a Marsala cream sauce.
Good call, Aviva, but more crucially, it's boneless breast of chicken.
Well, that is the way this dish is usually made. What's new and different?
Nobody had the boneless breast. You didn't need to pay the butcher $2 a pound for the service or spend your own precious time wrestling with a chicken breast and a boning knife.
In other words,
this is from a boneless chicken. Mm. Now, of course, the big benefit on that particular animal product is the breasts. Mm-hmm. There's not really, at the moment, a big demand for boneless drumsticks.
No stick, as it were.
But we are in serious discussions with two of the major fast food chains about what we're calling leg fingers, where you take the boneless leg product, do a fast and tasty breading preparation, and then you have a finger food it's got twice the eye appeal of the white meat.
But again... Could you breed a boneless chicken?
Oh, you could, but it wouldn't survive long enough to reproduce, nor would the skinless tomato. Mm-hmm. These are food improvements that are only possible with a technology that doesn't depend on the long-term viability of the variety being created.
So there's cloning of adults involved in this process?
That's a good layman's understanding of the procedure. All I know is chicken that doesn't have to be manhandled to become boneless, doggone it. It just seems to taste better. Maybe that's just my prejudice.
Well, it does have a wonderful chicken flavor, and usually bones add flavor. But
well, if that's what the market tells us, of course, we can also provide a chicken product with twice the bones of the existing stock there, too. You don't want that critter wandering around the barnyard.
No. Keith, are these products in the food stream right now, or is this the future we're looking at?
A little bit of both, Aviva, from... What I'm privy to, I'd be looking for a rollout of leg fingers before this Christmas.
Maybe we'll find them under the tree. Keith Blyjob, thank you for joining us. Now it's time to get up from the edible table. We had help this week from the Doris and Edgar Elgar Foundation. We're the food people. Next week, we'll get another helping of whatever's fresh and frozen. And you're welcome to join us at the edible table. I'm Aviva Schlorman saying, eat something. You look terrible. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
And quickly now, at the end of this first episode of the year in rebuke, some news from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, from the Boston Globe. Not picked up by anybody else, though, so it is outside the bubble. For 8 years, the United States Army has known that its largest online testing program, which verifies that soldiers have learned certain military skills and helps them amass promotion points, has been the subject of widespread cheating. A 5-month Globe investigation has found that hundreds of thousands of packages of completed exams have been downloaded by soldiers over many years. That means exams with the answers. The Army has never prosecuted anyone for cheating, which happens to be a violation of three sections of the Military Code of Justice. But everything is okay because the Globe also reports that the Bush administration is pushing to take away control of the promotions of military lawyers from the military and put it in the Department of Justice, where it's safe. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. What's with that Boston Globe, anyway? What are they trying to prove? It's holiday time. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations. Available to you via Le Show On, apply only where needed, and on these same stations, on NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, on Sirius and XM satellite radio, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. Available as a free download at audible.com/LeShow and available as a free podcast at KCRW and iTunes. And it'd be just like controlling those military lawyers if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. I'll also see you on the video side this week at mydamnchannel.com, source of one of the top 10 viral videos of the year, according to Time Magazine, where we continue our series of silent presidential debates. It's really all you need to know. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh desks, and to Jenny Lawson here at WWNO in New Orleans. For playlists of the music, and for an email address to the host, go to harryshearer.com. Won't you? Thanks to all the people in Los Angeles and New Orleans who came to our my wife's and my Christmas sing-along. We'll be doing one more in Seattle, but we're not on the air there, so y'all come. Week from tonight. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions that originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. So long from New Orleans.